I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of Silent Giants is brought to you by Allie. Allie, powered by Verizon Locations, are developed by Verizon, the world's leading technology company, in collaboration with Allie, a membership-only community workspace for creators. Each location is a community curated powered by the emerging technologies and thought leadership of Verizon. With Allie, Verizon is bridging the gap between startup and corporation by helping the community workspace build next-level ecosystems for entrepreneurs. Now, on to my episode.
With Travis Ellison.
I can't miss that shot. Like, that shot, my excitement for a second is less important than capturing a moment that'll last forever.
Yeah, check it out. I'm your host, Corey Cambridge. Yeah. Everybody tuning in, you invited. No matter what mood you in, get excited. Everybody love the music. Let me tell you how they do it. Whether writer or an agent, let me tell you how they made it. You are now talking to a silent giant. Wanna walk in their shoes, silent giants. Wanna study they move, silent giants. Wanna know what they do, silent giants. Silent giants, y'all.
God bless everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Silent Giants podcast. Silent Giants highlights the superstars behind the scenes of popular culture. I'm your host, Corey Cambridge. To keep up with the latest on the show, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Silent Giants Podcast. To keep up with my life, music, and more, be sure to follow me as well at Corey Cambridge. Our special guest this episode is Minnesota Vikings sports photographer Travis Ellison. Travis is a dear friend of mine, and while on vacation in Minneapolis, he came by to chop it up with me on the podcast. I got to learn more about his upbringing in Virginia, how he first developed a strong love for photography, how he found his niche in sports photography, how he landed his role at the Minnesota Vikings. He shares amazing stories about being there for that famous Minneapolis miracle catch, and so much more. So, without further ado, let me introduce you to the photographer, my friend, the silent giant, Travis Ellison.
Check, 1, 2, 1, 2. All right,
man. So we just gonna rock out.
What's up, everybody? I'm Travis Ellison. I also go by Travy Trav. On Instagram, I'm Travy Trav _DMV.
Yeah.
We'll talk about more of that later. But this is a history moment for me because I've never been in an Airbnb. So,
oh, okay, yes. Let's set the scene. So we're here right now. We're at Minneapolis, which I call my home away from home away from home. Like, this is definitely like my spirit city. Like, I had an interview earlier today with Laserbeak, who's like one of the top dudes running the music scene here in Minneapolis. And I was telling him, like, dude, this is one of my favorite places to come visit, man. Especially in the summer when the weather is warm. Because you're from Virginia, but you're in Northern Virginia.
Right. I'm from Alexandria, Virginia.
Would you go to T.C. Williams?
I didn't. I went to Thomas Edison.
Thomas Edison. So, okay.
Yeah, it's still in Alexandria, but it's right off of Franconia Road in Van Dorn. Van Dorn is a well-known street.
Okay.
About 30 minutes from D.C., 30 minutes from Maryland. So in the heart of the DMV, we can get where we got to get to pretty quick.
How did your journey in photography start?
If we want to take it all the way back. I've honestly naturally been a photographer since birth, I would say. And it's something I didn't realize until I got older. But even as a kid, I actually did a photography project in like second grade. My mom always had me and my brother doing any extra credit available, any type of thing that we could do to, you know, put that extra step into academics. And at my school, we had a contest. It was something like if, then what, or something like that. And it was kind of like an open book to whatever you want to do, be creative, make something. And mine was, I think it was like, it would be amazing if, or it would be interesting if, or whatever the concept was. But mine was, it would be whatever the word was, if leaves turned into fire trucks and police cars. I don't know how that was the
thing. Okay, you was on a higher level.
Something like
that.
You
was deep.
Something like that. But I still have that photo, like, of that poster that I created, but I took a snap and roll camera, like the Kodak cameras where you take all the photos, it's film, and then you take it to like the CVS and you get them printed, right? So I still in my head can remember taking those photos. My mom would drive to the spot. It was like down the street from where I went to school. I went to Franconia Elementary School. Shout out to the Mustangs.
Uh-oh.
Mustangs of Franconia.
Get it, get it.
Yes, sir. So I remember that adventure. Like, I took photos of autumn leaves in the on the ground. Then we drove to the fire station, which is right across the street from my school. Took a photo of like a fire truck. Then I went down the street and took a photo of a police car. And like the police drove the car out, put the lights on and all that. And I remember taking these photos. And then years later, I'm coming back home and I look at that poster and I can see I had an understanding of the rule of thirds.
What is that?
So the rule of thirds is something in photography with how you angle your photo or how you set the subject. So like if you're the subject right now, you're in the rule of thirds the way I'm looking at it. So like, so there's a square. Like if you look through the camera, like there's a square, right? And then in some, you can see like there's three lines vertical and three lines horizontal.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And it's kind of like a checkerboard or not a checkerboard, like
a tic-tac-toe.
Tic-tac-toe, right?
Yeah.
So the top, those corners from the square in the middle, those are your rule of thirds where you want your subject to be, or less. That's where the eye goes to.
Okay.
So usually when you're placing a subject inside of a photo, you want them to be in agreement with the rule of thirds, pretty much.
Okay, got it.
So that's something you usually have to be taught, but I knew that instinctually, just that's how my eye was even as a child. So looking back on it with the understanding of photography, it was kind of interesting. It's like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, at least some of what I'm supposed to be doing.
Was there anyone in your family that was a photographer or inspired you to get into photography?
Nobody really inspired me. I think the way I got inspired was my brother played sports, I played sports, and my family was always taking pictures just on those Kodak cameras usually. And I was always the one, I just loved the whole process of it. Like, you can take photos in this device and then you go to the store and you print them out and they become images. Like, that was cool to me. And I never really thought too much of it. I just loved doing it. And I was always the one that I wanted to take the photo. And then as I got a little bit older, my brother was playing sports. So I would be the one that would, my dad would be coaching. I would be the one that just instinctually, I'm the one with the camera recording the game so we could have highlights. So that I got into video doing that.
Okay.
But it was just that. It wasn't like editing. It wasn't any of that. It was just, hand me the camera, I'll film the game. Hand me the camera, I'll take the photo, you know? So that's what it was up until I got into college. So, I ended up purchasing my first camera because of my music career. So my goal, my thought was, okay, it was 2011 was when I graduated high school. And that was the first time towards my senior year, it was the first time I performed like on my own technically.
Yeah.
It was me and my one friend, Jarvis, shout out to him. I always got to give him some love on that because up until that point, I was in choir and chorus and all that. My mom put me in that. And I was singing. I'm fine singing with a group of people, but I never wanted to sing on my own. Like, I would get scared if I heard my voice on a speaker or something like that, you know? So fast forward, senior year of high school, I finally got the courage to do a talent show. And I got the bug after I did it. Performing, like, my whole class, you know, performing in front of them, I got the bug of, like, that's what I want to do, music, right? So going into college, I was at a community college, Nova Community College, NVCC. I got to give all these shout outs.
Yeah, of course.
So,
how black people do.
Yeah, you know
how
we do.
You got to shout them out.
Right. So when I went there, it was all about music to me, but I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do because I knew you have to make money and music isn't like an easy way to make money unless you're really into it and all of that. So anyway, my idea was, I shot my first music video on my iPhone. Me and my friend shot that.
Okay.
Ironically enough, we just watched the Raptors game. We saw Drake on the sidelines, right? We did a remix to Headlines, I think it was.
Yeah.
And we shot it on my iPhone on NVCC's campus, Nova Community College campus, Annandale campus at that. And we shot that on my phone. And so from that, we were like, yo, how about we buy a camera and then we do photo shoots and we do video shoots for other artists in the area, right? And make our money and then we can promote ourselves and we'll have the camera so we can do our own photo shoots whenever. We can do our own music videos whenever.
Right.
You know, not knowing there's a lot more that goes into it. But that was the initial goal. So I bought a camera, me and my friend Curtis. We would take photos and all that stuff. But then I ended up transferring to VCU. And I knew, all right, at this point, I had a camera. I love sports, but I'm not going to be able to continue sports when I go to VCU. I'm going to have to focus on school as well.
And what year were you at VCU?
I started there in 2013.
2013, okay. Right.
So
okay.
I did 2 years at Nova, then I went.
Yeah, I was long gone by then.
Right, right.
Okay.
You went to VCU?
Yeah, I went to VCU.
I remember we had this conversation. That's wild.
Yeah,
that's
wild. Dog.
So we are alumni of the same place.
I wouldn't say I'm alumni.
Okay.
I would say I was there.
We were.
I was attendee. I was an attendee.
Attendees, okay.
Yes.
We're both Rams. How about that?
We're both Rams.
All
absolutely.
Right. All right.
I have the sweatshirt to prove it.
Okay. So yeah, so when I went to VCU, I knew, okay, I got this camera. I love sports. I love music. And I've always said I want to be in sports and entertainment, especially once I got the camera. So when I got on campus, I started working with our student organization called Rams Review. My studying was communications, mass communications. So I had a whole background in doing all of that once I got there and learning through that. I just tried to do as much as I could photo, video-wise while I was there. And even I was also doing my music, so I was doing open mics and different things like that too. That's a long-winded answer, but
No.
That's the beginning of the story. That's how I really got into it.
So, at what point in the juncture of your life did you realize that okay? I guess similarly for me, I guess my journey started with music, and now it's led me into podcasting. I guess you could say my camera is my podcasting gear. I never go to a city without my gear because I always want to do an interview with folks in that town that I go visit. But what was that transfer for you where you were like, yo, I'm going to actually pursue this photography thing?
My friend Wilson Tarpey Jr., you know, I got to keep shout outs. He's been a good friend of me and mentor. He has a company and pretty much a sports outlet called My Mind on Sports.
Okay.
And he's grown that to Focus TV as well, where they have a TV show in the DC area. They have a radio show. And they also just cover all the events going on in the area, sporting events. He gave me the opportunity to be a cameraman with him and no pressure involved. Just like, I believe in you, do everything you can. Anything you're willing to do, you know, just be a part of the team and gain your portfolio. So with him, I did a lot. I covered like 4 seasons of WNBA. So while I was at school, I would go back home sometimes and cover events. I remember one distinct event was Team USA, the women's Team USA basketball. They had a practice event or whatever before they went off to the Olympics. And it was at Navy. And so we went up I went from Richmond, came up to meet him, and we both went up to that event. Just being around these athletes on the other end now, you know, I used to be an athlete. I still play and all that. But being able to photograph it, being able to record them, he even let me do interviews. Whatever I was willing to do, he was open to letting me do it. And that was the biggest moment for me early in the game where I was like, okay, I'm good at this because I know, you know, when you start out, everybody comes like, oh, this is awesome. This is cool. You know, they just want to support you. But when it's people that don't know you and they're doing the same, like, yo, we really like your work or this is awesome, or you start to see it from both ends then, you know?
Right.
It's not just your friends saying, that's nice, that's good. You know, it's people that you don't know that are coming to you saying, like, you're inspiration to me, blah, 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 and so forth. So that was the initial moment. And in shooting concerts as well in RVA, those are the two moments where, like, I knew I could do this. And I probably can get into more stories, but...
Yeah. What goes into making a great photo in the world of sports? Because obviously it must take a different You must have a different approach if you were doing portraits or landscapes.
Right. I was on a panel a few weeks ago. It's called the Lincoln Drink Panel. I just keep giving these shout outs because I know your platform is that big and I want people to.
It's working, man.
You know, and I appreciate you just letting me be on this. We met through social media. From me listening to your podcast, I think. I don't know how it happened.
You're totally right. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
It always feels like you just always have been in my life, but it wasn't the case.
Right. It wasn't. It wasn't. Yeah. And we're from the same area, all of that. But anyway, back to the question. What I answered to them, they were like, you know, what is your focus when you're taking photos and so forth? And I don't really even think of it from a sports aspect usually. The main thing I look for is smiles. And that's always what I've seen. Like that's an emotional reaction, you know, and I just enjoy taking photos of people smiling. And then also my second thing is I want to take photos that I can show to the person I took the photo of and they will appreciate it. So like when I'm out at events, whenever I'm shooting something, I take a photo with that person in mind. So like if I saw you doing a podcast, right? If I had my camera out and it looked like an interesting photo, I might take that photo just because I know it's something you could appreciate. So that's what I think about. And when it comes to sports, I mean, of course you want to get the action shots. And that just is, I've learned that through playing sports and just watching sports where, okay, I know a dunk is going to happen probably because it's a fast break coming. I see how he's, you know, he or she, there's some women dunkers out there, but I see how the athlete is attacking the rim. Or in football, I know it's third down, so they're probably going to pass the ball if it's third and 10, right? So I got to be aware of who are we going to pass to on this play or who might be open or whatever. So thinking about those different things, it's a lot of read and react kind of thing where you just have to be able to react to what's happening. And I've never been the type to want it to be perfect for me. I like to move around in the environment. So I move around people to get my shots versus like, you need to be out of my way so I can do what I need to do. You know, I just vibe with the environment.
You touched on something there that I think is a beautiful thing for creatives. And it's something that I think of all the time, but maybe in my interviews, I don't know if I've heard that many people bring up this component of sharing and giving. You know, I always say that if you come into the creative space with the motive of like wanting to, you know, be hot or be popular or make a lot of money, then you're going to always find yourself a little bit, it's going to be a more of an empty feeling because being hot doesn't last forever.
Right.
You know, but the feeling of giving and watching someone be happy, because what you're doing is you're providing a service for someone.
Absolutely.
Without being asked.
Absolutely.
You know, how was that feeling of giving back helped you in your craft?
I can give you a perfect example of something that just happened this past weekend. One, I'll say, yeah, it's not about me. This job I have, I'm thankful for it, but it's bigger than me. It's a lot bigger than me. One of my main goals is to, one, show a positive image of our athletes. I work with the Minnesota Vikings, right? I want to show a positive image of our athletes, one. I want to show a positive image of our organization. And then I just want to show, you know, everything else, right? But like, those are the two. I'm a positive person, I want to show positive things. Of course, there's, you know, bad that goes on everywhere, but like, being able to service people, you know, it gives you purpose in life, right? And so that's part of my purpose is serving in this manner, but in other ways. But let me get to the story. We went to Soundset 2019, big hip hop festival in Minneapolis or in Minnesota, right? Mm-hmm. And I've been having this thought in my mind, like, okay, how can we get our players involved in like lifestyle type of content? And forever I've been trying to do it since I've been here and even before then, and it just hasn't worked out. Mostly all you see is like highlight footage. All you see is players on the field. Sometimes you see them in the community, but you never see them just being themselves outside of football.
Mm.
That's what we're trying to get to, hopefully in this generation, right? Where you can see more of that. So four of our players went to Soundset. Me and a friend of mine, Brandon, pretty much captured their experience there. And that was the goal. And I went in with this, and this is what the beauty of it is. You don't always have to have the full plan, but if you have positive intentions, things will work themselves out. And I also think that it's just a spiritual journey through my service, through my giving, and through my passion and purpose in photography, right? So like my positive instinct was, this will be good for us for content, but this will also be good experience for the guys. Like, cause they get to meet these artists and they get to just interact with them and be at a festival and be backstage and all of that, right?
Yeah.
So Soundset was generous enough to give us some passes to get us backstage. And they said we could interview artists and stuff, but it's never like solid, like you'll have an interview with this artist at this time. It's kind of like free will, like you just got to go and get it, right? So I'm in my element. That's my element. And when I'm doing it for somebody else, it even heightens that experience. I don't have any nerves. I'll go to talk to anybody because I'm doing it for somebody else. And I put that down on paper or on my Instagram. Like, it's different when you have a purpose. When you're moving with purpose, it's just a different type of power. So anyway, on that experience, like, we met Boz, we met DMX, we met Buddy, we met Doja Cat, we met Sway. And when we met Sway, we met him on stage. And one of the most open dudes and, like, generous, I was like, hey, how's it going, Sway? Like, you know, I'm here with some of the Minnesota Vikings. Is it okay if we meet you and do like an interview with you at some point? He's like, oh yeah, yeah, bring him over. So we're backstage at this point. He brings him over. Not only does he bring him over, he's like, I'm gonna put him on stage. Mm. So they got put on stage in front of the whole Soundset crowd. He introduced them. And one of our players, Amir Abdullah, he ended up doing a freestyle.
Get out.
On stage. And like, those are experiences that they'll have for a lifetime. And Brandon captured some dope footage for it. And they'll be able to, and I took photos. So like, those are experiences. They met Lil Nas X and all these people, right? And like, those are experiences they'll get to have that you don't uniquely get. You don't ordinarily get that by being an athlete.
Right.
Like, so being able to create that moment, I found my joy just came from seeing the smiles on their faces and seeing that they enjoyed it. And like, yeah.
I'm always intrigued by photographers. There's two people I'm always very intrigued by. Photographers and engineers. Because they're always there with the intention of only providing the bird's eye perspective, right? They're only there to capture the moment, right? The music engineer is there to record the musical moment and capture that moment. And then you're there to bring the visual moment and capture that. What have you learned from your bird's eye perspective working with these athletes that you didn't know before about them?
I'll start by saying what I've learned just by posting the photos I post on my Instagram. Another recent one, Brian Robinson just retired from the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. And during his speech, he had a great speech. It was like an hour-long press conference. And it was really, you know, emotional, but strong in story. Like, he told his whole story. And throughout it was some jokes in there, right? And like I said, going back to, like, I enjoy taking photos of smiles, right? So during the press conference, I turned back to his teammates. His whole D-line was in there to send him off pretty much, right? And during those, and some of the linebackers and so forth, but his teammates were in there. And they were laughing during the interview, right? Or during the press conference. And I took some photos of that side of the thing because all the cameras are facing that Brian, right? So you don't see the other perspective. Mm. And I took those photos. And when I posted them, I didn't really think twice of it other than like, I like getting a photo of them smiling and enjoying it. And somebody commented saying, I'm so glad that you took those photos or posted these because I was wondering what the room was like. What the other guys in there were like doing or whatever, like when he was telling those jokes.
Right.
So that gave me a perspective of that. But
what about on like a deeper level of them as people? I think that one thing that I've learned through Silent Giants and I guess being able to interview people in the creative space is maybe like a more human level about what goes into these people, right? Like what goes into their work or what goes into their day. What I would say success is not just some random selection thing, but success is a recipe. And that I'm fortunate enough to be able to sit down with people and figure out their recipe of how they became who they became. But from your perspective, maybe on a more human level, what have you seen as individual people? What have you learned from them and their from their job as being an athlete?
I mean, first and foremost, it's a job. Like, people see that a lot of these athletes make millions of dollars, but it's a job. Like, they have to work on their craft. It's not like you could just wake up tomorrow and become a professional athlete. And that's any professional, you know, regardless of how much they get paid. So it's a job, one. It's a craft. Like, they're running routes. They're watching so much film. They put a lot into their craft, just like I put a lot into photography. And I'm sure it's on their mind day in and day out, regardless of if they're at the facility or not. And for me, you know, I'm always thinking about photography. I'm always thinking about creativity and different ways to be involved. But I think the other part of your question of just them being normal people, like, they are normal. And I've never had that, like, that prejudging opinion because I've played sports. And my brother was an athlete and I was around all his teammates. So I understood, like,
with LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's just normal people like me, you know? And I think from the fan side, people don't always see that. But, like, you know, they have families or they have friends and they just want to be treated normal just like everybody else. Like, they enjoy other things outside of sports. Like, you know, I'm sure some of them are painters, artists, musicians, whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it. So normal people. But what I do appreciate is when the athletes take the extra time, they understand their impact and they understand what they can do to help somebody. Like just by acknowledging somebody, they could change their whole perspective on life. You know what I'm saying? Like, one person in particular is Stephon Diggs. Like, before games, I know for this past season, he'll toss the ball in the crowd during warmups. He'll go all around the stadium almost and tossing the ball to kids, tossing the ball to, you know, older fans or, you know, moms or whoever. You know, he'll toss the ball. And it doesn't have to be just Vikings fans. He'll toss it to other teams. In Detroit, he jumped into the stands to sign a girl's jersey because he couldn't reach it from where he was. Their stands is kind of higher. So he jumped into the stands to do that. This is before the game. And in that same game, he scored a touchdown and ran into the stands and sat down with some fans. And it was, I think, Thanksgiving weekend. So it was just cool to see what the players do with their impact. Kyle Rudolph is another one where he's in the community and he does a lot for the community. But yeah, that's what I've acknowledged. I just appreciate when they understand their platform and they use it to help. You know,
how did you land with the Vikings? Like, how did that opportunity come about?
Long story. But basically, I built my portfolio through working with Wilson at My Mind on Sports.
No. Before we get to that, I want to unpack that a little more. Okay. What goes into making a good portfolio with more of a sports focus? Is it the same focus for every industry, or is it different?
I think it's just in any industry. Like, within photography, it's just whatever that is. Like, if you do landscape, do it and keep doing it.
Okay.
And what I say for sports, people reach out to me on DMs and they ask me, hey, how do I get into sports, right? And I tell them, one, just don't do only sports. It's important to be well-rounded because in my job, I don't only take sports photos. I do community photos where you're dealing with just people. Mm-hmm. You know, building up your portfolio really in any way is just doing what you're interested in, but also be open to doing other things as well. So I still want to get better at portraits, but even though I'm a technically sports photographer, I still need to make portraits because there could be a day where one of our athletes won a portrait series or we're just doing that, you know? Okay. So it's important to be well-rounded. But the way I built up my portfolio was just pretty much saying yes to every opportunity that I saw was valuable and just doing it. I shot open mics where it was just, you know, regular, ordinary people there. It wasn't an NFL athlete. It wasn't an NBA all-star. Like, it was just normal people. And it helped me build my skills. And I tell people, if you're doing sports photography, you should be shooting little league football. You should be shooting pickup basketball, if it comes to that. Shoot golf, whatever you can. Because it's about really learning the mechanics of it. And if I get into like shutter speed and aperture and all of that type of thing, it doesn't matter what the subject is, as long as they're moving, you know, and playing the sport, you can get those creative images or solid images. I can tell if you're a photographer or not based on how you take photos of anything.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like I was talking to another coworker of mine. If you had a portfolio of all little league sports, but they were awesome photos, we might hire you versus somebody that has two games of an NFL, you know, portfolio and it's like blurry images or it only shows one perspective. You know what I'm saying? So it's more about the mechanics of it and also just being a good person. But
when you go on for the job, are they giving you criteria that they're looking for inside your portfolio? Or are you being creative and coming up with that criteria for yourself to present?
I think it's a mix of both. Obviously, they want to see some of what you have to offer of your own because you should have your own touch. It's not like you want to hire the same photographer for each thing.
Okay.
So you want to have some variety. You want to see something like, oh, we haven't seen this before. That'll be beneficial for sure. But at the same time, you want to see a mixture of not only sports photos and action, but you want to see the emotion. You want to see the detail shots of like water splashing off their face, or you want to see cleats, or you want to see the dirt. You know, that's the detail type of stuff. Then you want to see atmosphere. So you want to see like the stadium and how that looks, fireworks shooting out. You want to see fan shots, fans celebrating. And then another big one that people don't think about is sponsorship. Because these photos are great. It's cool to see an action shot, but if you can get a sponsorship photo where, you know, a sponsor is in the background and you have the action, or it's a creative way to show a sponsor that we're working with, that's what can pay the bills. That's what can, you know, help you be more creative or have more leniency in your job, you know, being that you're creating images that can then be a service to these companies that are partnered with your organization.
Wow.
Yeah.
Never thought about that.
Yeah. That's a big one.
So you get here to Minnesota, you get here, you're working for the Vikings. Your day-to-day, now obviously you're shooting the games and you're shooting practices and you're shooting press conferences and important moments with the organization. But when there's not a day where there's not a press conference, what does your day look like behind the scenes if there is anything happening?
Right, yeah, there's definitely things happening. In the off season, a lot of it is just planning. So we have events like Taste of the Vikings. We have training camp. And I was on a board for that where we really worked at the details on how can we make training camp better for this coming year and for years in the future. And things like that in the deep off season where it's like we just finished the season. You're talking about like April or so, right? So, but during the season and it's just an off day, if I'm not editing photos from a previous day of like practice or from a community event, then I'm usually adding metadata to our images. And so like the metadata, for example, would be, you know, a specific player. And at the end of the day, we should be able to type in and say, you know, that specific player and whatever action, like a catch or a touchdown or a run or whatever, or a tackle, and be able to find everything that we have for that. Or if it's an event we did, we should be able to type in, you know, so-and-so event on this day and see that. So I do a lot of the back end work of adding the information to the file, which is the image that can then be traced and we can find that photo. So yeah, we have a lot of images that we have. And if it was just like, okay, open book where, okay, find that photo, find that specific photo. And there was no way to like get to it specifically.
Yeah.
You'd be scrolling for days trying to find that photo. So what I do on the back end is add a metadata to it so then you can be, it can be found quickly.
Was that something that you knew would be a part of your skill set when you went into the job, or was that something that was?
I definitely didn't. And I think it's important to be open-minded. It kind of got thrown at me last minute because I started here as an intern and then I became a full-time employee. But at that time, one of our full-time employees ended up leaving in our department. So what he did, I had to learn kind of on the fly. I got a little bit of teaching in it, but then it was like, okay, the season just ended. You have this, you have to pick up from here and keep going. And that's really how it is if you see it on the sports side, like on the athletic side too, because, you know, if one man goes down, the next one has to stand up. So it's kind of the same on the business side too, where he moved on and I had to step up and carry on from there. So it was a little bit of struggle, but I didn't really know it. I didn't have any background in that leading up to it, but I kind of just caught on and kept it moving. So
as a photographer, are you working with the social media accounts at all? Or are you just providing just the photos?
We provide the images. I think some teams are different where their photographers will have more say so in what images get posted.
Okay.
And our social team is good at asking us, like, if there's a specific photo you really want posted, like, let us know. So we have some say so in the content, but usually it's so much going on and so many photos that we're taking that we have to just trust we do our job to creating the images and each other part does their job of distributing the image how it needs to be distributed.
I have a really simple question now. Mm-hmm. It's not at all a brainiac question, but how are you able to stay focused? Obviously you're a sports fan,
right?
How are you able to stay focused on your job, but there's an actual game taking place? You know, so for example, one of the biggest sporting moments in sports history, but definitely in Minneapolis and Minnesota history, was the Stephon Diggs catch against the Saints in Minneapolis Miracle.
Three receivers right, Thielen left. Marshawn Lattimore, 12 yards from Adam. Case on a deep drop, steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side, caught by Diggs.
Stay back!
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
30!
No!
Stephon Diggs and the Minnesota Vikings have walked off on the New Orleans Saints. It's a 61-yard Minneapolis miracle. I can't believe what I just saw.
So in a moment like that, where you're snapping pictures, you know, and capturing moments, but you're also, there's a big emotions happening around you. Tell me that process tell me your process during those times.
I think they call that like the gift and the curse of the job, or it's anything, right? So yeah, you could get emotionally attached to a game because you're a fan of sports in general. But you also have to understand, like, this is a service, right? I can't miss that shot. Like, that shot, my excitement for a second is less important than capturing a moment that'll last forever. So being able to stay composed in that situation, it's bigger than me. I always go back to that. It's bigger than me. So
is it a challenge at all?
It is a challenge, of course, especially when, you know, our season's on the line. If we lose that, we're done. So it's a challenge, but at the same time, you have to just, you know, separate that from your mind for the moment. And honestly, in that situation, the way it happened was so surreal that I didn't even know it was legit because they threw a flag after the play. So the whole experience, I'm subdued pretty much. I'm reacting because, like, that's what we do. We react. He ran by. He jumped up and caught it. I got the photos of all of that. I got the photos of him running by me and scoring because I was in the perfect position. It was a blessing. It was kind of like I kind of got drawn to that space. And also having faith in just being positive. Because if I wasn't faithful and if I wasn't positive, I would have just stood wherever I was and like, oh, well, we'll see what happens. But I got in position as if the best could happen. I got in position at like the 20-yard line, facing back towards where he caught the ball and ran right by me into the end zone. And so just having the faith that, okay, a big play might happen here. And just staying with it and taking those photos and so forth. But they threw a flag because he took his helmet off and threw it. And that was what the flag was for. But I didn't know if it was a flag on like false start or late snap or whatever. I wasn't sure what happened. So that whole experience, everybody's excited around me and I'm just reacting and like subdued because I don't know if we scored, if it counted or what. But I got some pretty awesome images from that. I got the catch. It's actually up in our museum right now. We have a new Vikings museum and that photo is like up there. And that's the first time I've been featured in a museum, but also the fact that just how that all happened. That was my intern year. So I'm an intern and I got a photo like that, which, you know, it shows it's like, it can be anybody's moment at any time.
And when I think of that photo and I think of that catch, I think of Dwight Clark for the San Francisco 49ers in the end zone. And that catch is very, or David Tyree with the Giants, that Super Bowl catch, the helmet catch.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's one of those iconic moments that you touched on something also when you were speaking that I think would go, has to go into the mentality of doing your job really well and capturing a moment that I don't think that, I think you may have said it, but maybe it's kind of profound, that you have to think optimistic about the next play.
Right.
Right? Like you have to think about this, this could be the biggest play of the season. Mm-hmm. This could be the biggest first down. This could be, every play is a play that you need to capture a positive, an amazing image.
Right.
And it could happen at any time.
Right.
Is that always kind of your mindset when you're on the field?
I don't think about it that deeply all the time. I just, you really are just reacting. But at the same time, you could miss that shot, you know? So it's important to stay focused. And that gets tough at, that gets tough at times, but it is important to stay focused. And like I said, it's bigger than me. So capturing that image for him, well, like what if all the photographers didn't get that shot? Well, hopefully I got it, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's a service to him too. It's a service to our organization. It's a service to every fan out there, because that story can be told forever now because we have those images, you know?
And what does that feel like, to capture an image, you know, that is so iconic, that's going to be actually, that's going to live well beyond Minnesota. You know what I mean? Like I was watching the game at a Minnesota bar in Brooklyn. And the reaction that I was able to see from Brooklyn, you know, what does that feel like to have your work be synonymous with a moment, one of the biggest moments in sports history?
I think it's awesome, but at the same time, I really don't think about it much. Like, because I'm only 25 right now, and I still feel like there's so much more out there for me. So I rarely think about that unless it's brought up, you know? It's a cool image. I mean, yeah, it might, like you said, go down in history or whatever, but I don't think of it that way right now. It'll be something that'll be cool maybe if I have children that I can show them that. And I think about that with a lot of my images, like, because as a kid for me, like I always ask my parents, like, did you go to this concert? Did you ever see Michael Jackson? Did you ever, you know, see this artist or things like that? So what if my kids are asking about the experiences I had? I can show them through imagery that I took. And that's something that's cool. And just people in general, it doesn't have to be my own children or whatever, but that play itself is awesome. But I think I get an emotional reaction when I watch the video. Our team did a great job of capturing and gathering the reaction, the fan reaction. So they pieced that together with the highlight of the play.
Yeah.
And that will bring some tears. Like, that's what really brings it to me. I think sometimes video and sound can do more than a photo. I think that photo, if you're just looking, like, that photo is awesome. But in other people's photos too, they got some great photos too. But the photo is cool. But I think in this moment, if you put it all together with the video and the sound, you feel, you really feel that vibe. Because, like, I think if you just look at that photo, it's just a catch. If you look at it, you know, if you don't know the backstory. But when you see the video, you see everything surrounded with it, like, that's where
the cannons going off.
Yeah, yeah. It tugs at you. It tugs, because mind you too, like, the Vikings have yet to win a Super Bowl, and we got one game away from the Super Bowl that year, and it would have been in Minnesota. And our campaign that year was bring it home. And so being that we won that game against the Saints, who we lost to years prior to make it to the Super Bowl, that was a moment, man. It was a moment, but yeah.
You know what? That's the key word there is moment. I think that even though that year the Vikings didn't go to the Super Bowl, who won the 1983 Super Bowl?
I have no clue.
Exactly. But you will always remember that moment.
Right.
And that's what life is made up. That's what life's about. Life's about creating moments. You know, I say that about, I love LeBron James, but at the end of the day, Michael Jordan gave you more moments. It's not about the rings. Mm. Bill Russell gave you more rings. Mm. You know what I mean? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar gave you more points, but it's the moments. People, right. People always forget, what's the line? People always forget what you say, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
And I think that goes back into sports. And capturing that moment. So we don't know who the 1983 Super Bowl champions were. I think they were the Washington Redskins, I think, or the Oakland Raiders, I think, one of the two. But who knows? we're guessing.
Right. It wasn't a moment.
it wasn't a moment. Exactly.
For us, at least.
Yes. So, Trav, before we get out of here, man, I ask the subject of the show.
It's over already?
It's over already, man.
We've probably been talking how long?
Oh, we got a 50 minute interview.
Oh wow, yeah. Time flies with Corey Cambridge.
Yo, man, with tequila. with Corey Cambridge and tequila, time flies, brother. So, but before we get out of here, I always ask the subject of the show the same question, the closing question, and you know. From my experience of interviewing these silent giants and people who've done amazing work in their career, they've all sacrificed something to get there. We're all in the pursuit of greatness. Everyone wants to be great. Everyone wants to be lit. Everyone wants to be popping, but we're not aware of what it takes to be lit or to be great or to be popping. We just see the end result. We watch Beyonce's homecoming performance at Coachella, and we just see her out here just killing the game. You know what I'm saying? But we don't see until that back, you know, that documentary came out of the performance, like the B footage, and you're able to see all the dedication and sacrifice it takes to just to entertain us, you know, and for her to make a living and to do what she loves to do. What have you had to sacrifice on your pursuit of greatness?
I think I've sacrificed being alone. I'm comfortable with being alone. Like, I moved out to Seattle for an internship alone, didn't know anybody. When I moved to Minnesota, I didn't know anybody. And being willing to risk that for opportunity has been a sacrifice I've made. I barely see my family. I go home once or twice a year now that I, you know, work where I work. Most people, you know, they're working where they lived there, they grew up there, or their family comes out with them. You know, I don't have a wife, I don't have children, so all my family is back home in the DMV area. So that's the sacrifice I made. And when I first realized that was in college, towards the end of my, I think, the start of my senior year, I started learning, like, okay, if I want to be good at this, I have to study this craft. If I have hours to go out and party, cancel those hours out and put them into my craft. So whether that's going to shoot an event or waking up the next morning at 8 a.m. and being available to assist somebody on a shoot just to gain that knowledge or whatever, or on YouTube. And when I even got my first opportunity in the NFL, it was through being up at 2 a.m. is when I got the response email. But I was applying for internship after internship. And those are hours spent, you know, working towards the opportunities. So just be valuable. Understand the valuability. I don't know, valuability a word?
Nope, it's not.
All right, well, understand the value in time and use it as best as you can.
Travi, man, first of all, you're a true brother. Words can't even express, you know, when I first started Silent Giants, you were one of the first people to, it was you and my engineer, Mark Bird. It's funny, the first people that really reached out and was like, yo, I like your podcast, truly became friends. And I've been able to collaborate with Mark, my engineer, from, you know, I think like episode 10. And now we're in episode 60. And I've been able to connect with you. I remember meeting you up for coffee.
Right.
When I came out to Minneapolis. And that's just like just chopping it up and just chilling and hanging out. And, you know, I appreciate what you do. And your work is important. Your work is very, very important. And, you know, thank you for sharing your love of photography to make other people happy.
I appreciate that. And I'd say the same for you. What you're doing is important. I've learned a lot just by listening to the podcast, the relationship we've built. And I'll just say also is like how the universe works. We met through a podcast, right? Through social media. Ended up figuring out that we both went to the same school, both grew up in Virginia. And then the fact that you had ties to Minnesota that even brought you here. And that's where we first met.
Yeah.
So it's like, when you reach out to the, you know, when you reach out, things just work in your favor. And I, you know, I could go on story after story of, I'm sure you could too, about how, just how the universe works in your favor if you're willing to work.
100%, man. 100%.
I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be on this platform. It's a great one at that. And I look forward to seeing everything that happens in the future for you. And I'm sure we'll keep it going for the both of us. You know, we'll keep it pushing. And
I mean, we got no choice.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Travi, thank you so much, brother.
Thank you.
We out.
All right.
Thank you all so much for tuning in to another episode of the Silent Giants podcast. And to our special guest, Travis Ellison. This episode was mixed by Mark Bird. And before we get out of here, be sure to check out my other show, OPP. Other People's Podcast highlights America's top podcasters and the dope shows they created. I'll be sure to provide you with a link to that in the description of this episode. I'm your host, Corey Cambridge. God bless y'all. Till next time.